Welcome back to Made in March. Today is Wednesday, December 10th, and it has been a full week since we were last with you guys, so it's really good to be back. We have all four of us here, and we're ready to rock. But before we do that, Luke?
We would like to start on a somber but optimistic note. So Keontae Johnson of the Florida basketball team, the Florida Gators, he's probably their best player.
I would say he's their best player.
He is their best player. After going up for a huge dunk, came out of a timeout and collapsed in Saturday's game in the rivalry against Florida State. He went to the hospital. I was watching that game. It was definitely a scary sight. I didn't know it would be as serious as it is. He is currently in a medically induced coma, which means that he's fine given it was medically induced, so he didn't go into it himself. So he'll be fine coming out. However, definitely a scary situation nonetheless.
And as we know right now, Keontae Johnson, he is responsive. I heard he's been FaceTiming his teammates, his friends, and family, so that's good to hear.
It's a good sign.
Yeah, it was overall a scary scene. I mean, I had people who really never, ever watch college basketball, but they know how much I'm into it, text me like, yo, did you see the Keontae Johnson thing? I'm like, yeah. So it was a big deal. So
very scary.
Prayers up for Keontae Johnson. Hope he gets better. I would love to see him out on the court again this year, which, I mean, I haven't looked read too deep into it, but I think he will be.
Yeah, we'll see. Back. Yeah.
You never know with this kind of stuff.
That's the least of the concerns right now, though.
Exactly.
You know, it's times like these where we really realize what's good in life and what matters the most. Just definitely the significance of how important it is for everybody to be okay.
Yep.
Good point.
Without further ado, Charlie, should we get back into the...
Yeah, what day did we leave off on? I think Thursday from last week.
Yeah,
it's been a full week.
Yep, I think it was Thursday.
December 10th.
Correct.
We had some action going on. We had Minnesota State undefeated in a rout against Kansas City, and then we had almost, and I bring this up because we are huge Gardner Webb fans here at Made in March.
Huge
Gardner Webb fans. They almost pulled a big upset against a good Western Kentucky team. They lost by 2 points. In the end, Gardner Webb, and this was tight. This was back and forth the entire game. Western Kentucky, are they fading on you guys, or are they still a decent?
I think they're a hole. They're a hole.
Gardner Webb is known for this kind of stuff. Do we know who Gardner Webb's coach is?
I do not.
Because
personally,
this guy's just got to be like one of the best like inspirers of all time. Because their team, they always come out.
They come out for the big games, but I would say like in games they would be expected.
Yeah, they get up for the big games. Yeah.
I mean, they are currently 0-3 as we speak, losing to Pitt and then Eastern Tennessee State the next game. They haven't had a home game yet, so we'll pin it on that for now.
Yeah.
But then the big game of that Thursday night, 24 San Diego State, my big sleeper team from week and a half ago, before they were ranked, went on the road to 23 Arizona State, and Remy Martin took them down and fairly handily.
Luke, I believe you and I, we both called this game.
Yeah, we both called this one. San Diego State looked really good. Jordan Shackle looked really nice. 9-for-15 from the field, 25 points.
Possible Malachi Flynn replacement. Obviously not up to the same standards, but if you don't believe in San Diego State, you got to believe now. They're for real.
The physicality of San Diego State.
I was
going to
mention that
I
as
love
well.
The way they play defense. I love the way they share the rock.
They'll push you around out there.
Yeah, they're definitely not scared to go up against any team. I think they really feel snubbed from March Madness last year, not getting that, because I think that they thought that they probably had a really big shot to go pretty far. So they're not afraid to bump bodies down low, to get physical with teams.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why they stand out so much as a mid-major team to me.
I agree. And with this Arizona State team, I think preseason I mentioned them as a team to look out for. And I am slowly starting to lose confidence in them.
Me too,
Alex. Think teams are starting to figure out Remy Martin. They're saying, we are going to lock down Remy Martin and make someone else score. Doesn't matter who, but Remy Martin is not going to beat us.
Yeah, he was 2-for-8. They absolutely 2-for-8, 9 points. They absolutely stymied.
It's working for teams playing against ASU.
Every team against ASU has done that, thrown the house at Remy Martin and let somebody else beat him. And I would say competitive teams have done that really well, and they haven't been able to beat like a good big team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Arizona State hasn't.
Because they don't really have that secondary score. I mean, they have good shooters. Alonzo Verge is a really good shooter from the perimeter.
And they got Marcus Bagley, who's a nice freshman, but he's still so young and he needs more time to get under.
Yeah. There's two freshmen in their starting five, inexperienced, and it's coming back.
Do we think that they'll get better and better as the year goes on? And maybe they're a little overhyped going into the year, but they'll get better?
Right now, I don't see it. They just lost to UTEP recently.
I think they're just...
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. They have a lot of talent, but it's just they aren't putting the right pieces together at this point.
I could see him finishing the season unranked, possibly.
I don't see that as a very hot take, if I'm being honest with you.
But going into the season, they were expectations.
Yeah, they were a sexy pick because of Remy Martin.
Through the roof, the expectations were. And the possibilities. Like, people were saying just based off of
last year. I swear, ASU always disappoints.
That's fair.
They always go in as, like, an 11 seed in, like, the first four when, like, in the middle of the year they're ranked, like, 16, 15.
That's fair. We'll see if they can buck that trend.
So, yeah, I mean, San Diego State definitely plays really good basketball. Like their brand of basketball. Think they're a pretty spooky team.
They're for real, though. That's all you need to know.
They are for real.
Like, going into the season, people were doubting them. But they really only lost Malachi Flynn, which was, like, a huge loss, but, like, comparatively, it wasn't as bad.
Opened the door for their other players.
Exactly. Exactly.
Then we move into Friday, and then the weekend games following it. I don't know about if you guys noticed this, but this was kind of like a rivalry weekend the entire weekend. It was pretty much all rivalry games. Like, in-state rivals. And anyway, we have...
I know it was for football, because Army and Navy played.
Nova wasn't
playing St. Joe's, were they?
Lord have mercy. In-state rivalry right there.
But one of them, Nebraska at 8, Creighton. I thought Nebraska was going to win this game. Played great basketball in the first half.
Yeah, I don't know why you
see,
thought
that's,
that.
That's a bold take.
That's a too bold
Luke
for me.
Luke likes the Big Ten a little bit too much.
Second half was just classic Nebraska ball.
Nebraska really choked the second half. They got beat 54-34 in the second half. So... end up losing 98-74, but I mean, the way Creighton plays, they usually hit their stride about like 14 minutes left in the second half. Once they get hot, they don't really look back. I mean, I know Marquette played them really well and beat them.
And we'll get to that.
But Creighton is, I feel like Creighton has to be one of the hardest teams to prepare for. Just because they have five guys that can score, they will space you out, and they have arguably the best point guard in the country. I would give it to Io, but Zagorowski is top three.
They live or die by the three. I do have to say that. Everybody shoots the three for that team in the starting lineup.
That's why they can have games like that, where they drop 98.
Exactly.
Talk about a team that really dominated that night and choked extremely hard. The Georgetown Hoyas at home. They came to play.
In the first
against 6 Nova. They're up 46-33 at half. They were up big pretty much almost the entire first half. They're up 46-30. I mean, they were up what, like 18 points at one point, and then Villanova came back in the second half and they outscored Georgetown in the second half 43-17. So
that's all you gotta know.
It was two different teams out there in the first and second half.
You almost have to try to lay an egg that bad in the second half after putting up 46 in the first half. That's bad.
Nova opened the second half on like a 10-0 run, I believe.
But still, they should be still leading after that point. Like,
Georgetown's
just bad.
Georgetown started turning over the rock, and Nova was getting a
bunch
of offensive
rebounds. They got away from what was working
for
them in the first half, and that was pounding it down low to Kudus Wahab, who was just dominating.
It's a nice name.
He was
a
sick name.
I know Charlie's a big Jeremiah Robinson Earl fan.
Huge.
But Wahab was just destroying him
really?
In the first half.
Yes. I didn't get a chance to watch this game.
Yeah.
Just destroying
I was seeing that. But they went away from what worked. They stopped taking care of the ball. They started getting into foul trouble, and it was all downhill for the Hoyas in half number two. Then moving into some important games in the night, Iowa State goes on the road to number 3 Iowa. And Iowa gets it done without Luka Garza for a lot of the game because he was in foul trouble.
It doesn't matter.
Iowa State is like a team we're used to.
They're like a D3 school this year, basically. Well, I mean, they lost to Kansas State, who lost to a D2 school. I'm willing to apply the transitive property.
Well, I would just like to say Garza only played 17 minutes
and shut out his points in his field goal.
And then the second half, he really turned up. He had 21 straight points for the Hawkeyes at one point.
Who did?
Garza.
Also, he just dropped the Garza goggles.
Yeah,
he just dropped them.
He finished
34
points.
He decided
points.
To go full on Garza goggles.
But in the first half, Garza was out for the majority of the first half because he got in foul trouble early. And Jack Nungy comes off the bench, giving him some big minutes. Went 7-for-9 from the field, scored 17 points, and had a double-double at halftime. So they found that backup, especially, and I think
that's important. That's
I think Nungy is better. I think Nungy's better than Kreener the senior was.
I agree, because I think Kreener the senior was a hack out there.
He was terrible.
He was a dirty player.
He was a very dirty player.
But at the end of the day, Nungy looked nice out there, but you're playing Iowa State. Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But still, 13-for-14, 34 points in 17 minutes is incredibly impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Iowa dropped 105 on Iowa State, 105-77. And then after their next game when they drop triple digits again, they are now averaging over 100 points per game.
That's insane.
Which is extremely impressive. I mean, I don't really know.
It's like that Mike D'Antoni, like, 8-second offense out there.
It's
offensive menace.
It's tough to stop. Wieskamp's been playing really good basketball, so
that I don't know how you can guard Iowa because they can you pound it down low to Garza.
Everybody on the
perimeter
can
shoot. Scores, and if you do double, kick out three.
Exactly.
Simple.
And then we had another big game. Marquette went on the road to UCLA. I took UCLA in this one. Charlie, did you take UCLA in this one?
I did.
I
was pulling for Marquette, but
Wesley might have. I can't exactly remember, but
I think it went MU. I may have.
Okay, Marquette kind loses 69-60. Carton had another decent game, 18 points. Alex, you really like DJ Carton. What went wrong in this game against UCLA?
You know, probably too many turnovers. We also got in foul trouble early. And, you know, we held Tiger Campbell in check for the most part. He only had 4 points, but
oh, wow.
He had 9 assists. So, I mean, he makes up for it. And this Jamie Jaquez, he really impressed me. I had never really heard of him before watching this game, but he looked very dynamic out there.
Justin Lewis only had 12 minutes this game. He's been a really dynamic freshman
off
the bench for Marquette.
Yeah, he was in foul trouble, yeah.
Okay, so that's the reason. So, yeah, I see he had four personal fouls. I just didn't know if that came
later. I will note Bill Walton was slandering the refs the entire game.
Wow.
That's one of Bill Walton's favorite things to do, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
It's true.
Were there a lot of fouls that game? Because that's one of Walton's least favorite things of all
Mark,
time.
Yeah, there were 24 fouls called against Marquette. So.
Okay. I can see why Walton was
It was
up
a
arms.
Little bit of a hack fest out there, but...
Some touchy calls.
Yeah.
Hey, at the end of the day, UCLA gets it done. They needed this one.
They did.
They have not had a great start to the season. I mean, they're still a one-loss team, but they weren't looking all that impressive.
But they came in the preseason rank, didn't they?
Yeah,
they
did. 22.
Yeah.
And the only competition they've really faced has been San Diego State and Marquette. That's pretty much the only competition.
Yeah, so they needed that one against another team that was pretty respectable. And then we move into Saturday, rivalry in Florida. Florida at 20 Florida State. Obviously, this is where the tragedy of Keontae Johnson happened in the first half. But I thought Florida was going to play them tough, which they did for a while. And then Florida State, 20 Florida State, they just have too many weapons. They're another very physical team. They get the job done.
Wesley and I have something to say about Florida State. They are underrated.
They lost a lot of players last year to the draft.
Actually, believe it or not, not as bad as you would think.
They caught MJ Walker.
They kept three of their five starters.
And one of their starters was kind of a starter, Balsa Koprivica. He got a lot of minutes off the bench.
But then they also got a top recruit,
Scotty Barnes.
Yes.
Scotty Barnes is a stud. And, I mean, Florida State, they're deep every year. Every year.
Leonard Hamilton. One of the most underrated coaches in the nation.
He's incredibly underrated.
I think Florida State is just now kind of starting to get their respect. I believe in the new AP poll. They were, 15?
I think so, 15, yeah.
I think they're better than that. I think they are better than that.
I mean, I think that they're around 15 to 10, but that's not what they were at the start of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think they're finally starting to get their respect. They're a good team.
They're a good team. And the fact that they can play 8 or 9 guys, whatever they play, is really,
it's a classic,
really, yeah, exactly.
Classic,
it's a classic
Florida State team, deep, long, athletic. They'll play good
Big.
D.
Big.
Mm-hmm.
They're always huge.
I mean, yeah, I really like the guard play at Florida State. The kind of a three-headed monster with Scotty Barnes, MJ Walk, and Anthony Polite.
Yep.
All in double digits, 17, 17, and 14.
Mm-hmm. They're a guard-led team.
They play fast. They play fast. They play physical. They make their shots. They're smart with the basketball. Great defenders, too. So this Florida State team is going to be a tough matchup for a lot of
their
teams.
Their shortest starter is 6'5".
Yep, that's your Florida State team, right? That's your average Florida State team.
That's insane.
It's crazy, but...
This is the most classic Florida State team.
The most classic. Yep.
I would say so, too. And honestly, I think Florida State, at least in the regular season, wins the ACC.
Woo!
I'll make that bold prediction.
I would maybe agree with that. I think they win the ACC.
I think they would probably.
So is that... ACC's kind of a down
year. Who's their top contender, though? Duke, North Carolina, Virginia.
They're all up there.
Duke.
I would say Virginia more matches up better against them. That's why I would say that.
Virginia
always plays FSU tight.
They
did last year both times, I
think. Yep, both times. We'll see.
I mean, that's my bold prediction. I like to throw it up on the bold prediction wall.
Absolutely, I'll write it down.
Florida State wins regular season ACC title.
It's worthy of a bold prediction.
I'm going to be on that train as well. I won't go on the prediction, but I will be in full support of
Luke, you're kind of bogarting on me and Wesley's love of FSU. I kind of like it, actually. I'm not
going to lie. I love the way they play.
I do, too. I love watching Florida State basketball.
Then we stay in the ACC for a couple games. Miami gets embarrassed at home against Florida Gulf Coast. And Miami just beat Purdue.
Is this Dunk Central?
This is Dunk Central.
Yeah. Well, Dunk City. Dunk City. No, please don't disrespect.
I apologize.
The only reason Miami lost this game is, as we all know, they lost Chris Likes.
No Chris Likes Miami. I don't even recognize them as a D1 school, really. I mean, without Chris Likes, they're not on my radar.
Why do they still have a basketball program?
Why? They should cancel when Chris Likes left.
Miami was unbelievably
If they
bad.
Don't name their gym after Chris Likes, their athletic director
disappointment to the
needs
community,
to do something.
The school, everything. The alumni, not fair.
Miami was unbelievably bad from deep. 3-for-19 that game. That's just
sad.
You can't win a game going 3-for-19 from 3-point range. And then staying in the ACC, big upset. Notre Dame heads to Big
Is it an upset? Is it an upset?
Kentucky's a laughable team.
Kentucky was favored, so yes.
If you want to read off the score again, Luke, one more time.
64-63 Notre Dame. This was way too close for what it actually was. Notre Dame was dominating the entire game.
I think it was like 30-9 or something like that in the first half. Notre Dame's favor.
Yeah, Kentucky's 1-4, guys.
Imagine
I
that.
Hope they miss the tournament.
They came in as a number 10 in the country.
It's because Calipari's an overrated.
And they have
coach.
One win, and it's against Morehead State. Whoop-de-doo. They suck.
BJ Boston, maybe their top recruit this year.
He's laughable.
He sucks. He is not good.
He stinks at basketball.
No bueno. And yeah, once again, you mentioned this. Notre Dame really tried to choke this game away. They were up big, but they somehow couldn't. And they didn't score for 10 full minutes in the second half.
They still won.
Second half, Kentucky, if they want to get in the tournament and be a real threat, that's the Kentucky team we need to see, because it did get reflected in the team stats.
Dude, so Kentucky, look at Notre Dame, though. I mean, at the end of the day, you're playing the Fighting Troyers. Like, it's a whole different team that you're playing. It's not like Kentucky's playing a tournament team.
Notre Dame is... They're not laughable, but they're not good.
I think Kentucky...
Printess Hub... That's about it.
They did lose this game, but I think Kentucky's improving a little bit, especially in that second half, because they...
What could make you say that?
They had...
What could make you say they're improving?
Because they had less turnovers than Notre Dame, and they had more assists than Notre Dame. And that is not the Kentucky team that we saw the first couple games, and that is objectively true.
I think what
We're
Kentucky,
diving into the analytics of this game now.
That's objectively true, though.
They need to play Davion Mintz more.
Well, what Kentucky needs to do is they need to get to the hoop more. They haven't driven
they
at all.
They need to win basketball games.
They only shot 6 free throws this entire game. That is not a typical Kentucky team. When you look at these past Kentucky teams, with people like Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox,
okay, yeah,
they drive.
Firing threes is not going to work for this Kentucky
exactly.
team.
Exactly.
No.
Because they're pretty tall. Like, they're not going to shoot the lights out from three.
Yeah, when you look at the previous Kentucky teams with Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox, they were driving to the hole, getting to the
line. Okay, but this Kentucky team doesn't have a Malik Monk or a De'Aaron Fox.
Okay, so they need to share the basketball more.
That doesn't scream drive to the lane. That seems like ball movement, sort of. I don't know.
Yeah, ball movement.
I think they got
to points in the paint.
I think they got a lot of work that they got to do.
Lots. Yes. To stay the lead.
I frankly still think they make the tournament. I don't whether you can call that a bold prediction or not. I don't think it is. I don't think it is right now, but I still think Kentucky will make it.
Hit me up in a few weeks, then we'll see if
it I don't think Kentucky's making it.
They might not. This could be North Carolina last year, because the ACC is still a respectable conference, and they're like, they haven't even played.
Do we want to consider Kentucky not making the tournament a bold prediction? Because I'm willing to.
If you're willing to go out on that
one,
I'd say it's a bold prediction.
Both in on that one. I would, but I've got a few more to get to later today.
I'm in on it.
I'm in. Fine. I mean, Kentucky.
They all play as individuals. They're not playing as a team.
There's zero chemistry.
I will laugh at whatever NBA team takes BJ Boston.
he's quite. I would argue he's selfish on the court. He does not look. He's hucking.
So if you guys had to decide today, and I know you guys already made that bold prediction. So and I think Kentucky will make the tournament. So Charlie, if you had to decide today, and this won't go as a bold prediction because this is a speculation, obviously. Do you think the Kentucky Wildcats will make the NCAA tournament?
It's a fantastic question.
It's a yes or no question.
I don't. That's why it's a fantastic question.
Don't talk around it. Don't talk around it. Answer it.
I think they make the tournament and get bounced first round.
If they're playing better basketball by then. I mean, Kentucky went to the Final Four as what, like an 8 seed 1 year?
once. And that was when their seeding was really, really poor. People thought they were going to be a 5, and they got put in as an 8.
Which was,
They played a good Wichita State team who got absolutely the raw end of the deal on that. But, I digress. I could go on for hours about that. But I think they probably make it this year, but I would not be surprised if they
miss. Yeah. So this is that prediction. It's extremely bold to say a Kentucky, a normal.
Hey, listen. Let's not go to the top. They're 1-4.
No, but I'm saying like a storied program.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as Roy Williams' team last year. Like, would you have ever seen North Carolina being, what were they, an 11-20 team?
Yeah, whatever? They were pretty.
Could you have ever called that? Absolutely not. So, like, this is just like a bold prediction as they sit right now. Obviously, it could totally flip, but that's the way I see it right now. Alex probably as well.
And then another big game that a lot of people did not hear of from Saturday, Cincinnati at number 12, Tennessee. Alex loves Tennessee, so Tennessee's first, or this is their second game actually, but I thought Cincinnati had a good chance to upset Tennessee here. I think Cincinnati was a little bit spooky. They were up in the game with 6 minutes left, but since then they scored. I think they had 53 with 6 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Tennessee held them to 3 points in the final 6 minutes. So it's really Tennessee's defense coming together, and that's going to win them ball games.
Yep. They're not an offensive team.
This is a good Rick Barnes team.
Yeah, they're a defensive specialist team, you could say. Kind of like a classic Wisconsin.
I mean, if I remember correctly, I said David Julius was going to have to play well for Cincinnati to win, and he did for a while, but then down the stretch, he did not shoot the basketball well. He ended the night 5-for-17 on field goals, so not too great. Keith Williams played fine. He'd gotten foul trouble, so that was the other guy I said should probably play well. He was more of a non-factor, but Cincinnati has some pieces together, but Tennessee's defense in the end was just too much.
Yep.
I mean, Alex.
Tennessee's a good team. They're a good team.
Do you have anything to say about Tennessee?
I mean, I think you guys hit on it. What makes them so good is their defense. Obviously, they're not going to blow you away by scoring 90 a game or whatever. They're not going to be the most exciting team to watch, but they get the job done. They defend, they rebound, and they slow down the pace. It's a good Tennessee team. And also, this was their first game, so they're going to continue.
Second game.
Yes. My apologies. They're going to continue to get better.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that. And then some other games on Saturday, 16 UNC struggles with North Carolina Central. They end up winning 73-67, but they were down for a while this game.
And they dropped in the rankings because of it, I believe. So,
well, and they're
lost. Where did they drop to? Where did they drop to?
22, so they dropped six spots.
That seems about right for this UNC team. I think they could get better as the year goes on.
Yes.
But as we stand right now, that seems about right, and we're like, around 20.
Respectful. They're at least a respectable team this year as opposed to
Kentucky.
or North Carolina of last year, you could say. But they're respectable. They'll put up a fight and win the games they're supposed to win, I'd say.
And then I'd like to make a comment about another game that happened. Syracuse beats Boston College on the road 101-63. Not saying Boston College is not a good team. I think Syracuse is spooky.
Luke, they're 4-1. Love Syracuse.
They're 4-1 right now. Their one loss is to Rutgers by only 10 points.
Okay, but
Rutgers is a great team.
Thank you for saying that, actually. Wow. Rutgers is a great team. But I feel like Syracuse, they played another lesser team really, really close, like as we move later on in the days.
Yes, they did beat Northeastern by 6 points, but hey, win's a win. Win's a win.
Lordy, oh boy.
And then I'd just like to mention this game. TCU blows out Texas A&M at home because TCU just had another big win tonight.
They did, but Texas A&M is also not good. But what's Buzz Williams doing with that program?
It's not A&M, it's Texas A&M.
What?
CC, cream corn?
Cream corn. This is what? Cream corn?
I don't
corn?
Know what it really
says. No,
it's
TCU.
Corpus Christi.
No, TCU beat regular TCU. Texas A&M.
TCU. Oh, you're talking about TCU. I thought you said Texas Tech.
No.
Texas Tech did beat cream corn.
They did.
Not by as much as you think.
And another great game I watched this Saturday was a double overtime win for Dayton over Mississippi State. Dayton wins 85-82. I kind of like the Flyers this year. Not to go deep. They're a one-loss team, I believe.
That's correct, yeah. They're a good team.
For them to really go places, Jalen Crutcher is going to have to turn into a superstar.
I think Dayton's
Winning close games.
Their loss of Obi Toppin is a lot more significant than SDSU's loss of Malachi Flynn.
Absolutely.
And their one loss, may I add, is to a team that I have a very soft heart for. They lost by 2 points to the SMU Ponies.
Well,
so
pony up, I guess.
So, I mean, pony up.
It's time.
Oklahoma State escapes Wichita State on the road, 67-64. Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, thanks to a buzzer beater.
Big buzzer beater.
And to be honest, he actually didn't really do much that game before the buzzer beater. But
it's like Miles Dredd.
It's like how Geo Baker plays a lot of games. Red Ox.
That's really disrespectful.
He shows up late. He doesn't do as much early.
That's fair.
Is that not fairly factual?
He's a clutch player.
I'm waiting till we get to the Rutgers game for me to even talk about that. Because it's going to be five minutes.
I can feel the pent up.
It's brewing. It's ready to explode.
Auburn beats Memphis, and I say that because Memphis was expected to be pretty good this year, and they ended up kind of sliding.
Who did they beat the first week of the season?
It was the Maui Gym, right? I thought they beat somebody else, too.
St. Mary's for sure.
Yeah.
St. Mary's. Western Kentucky, maybe. I don't know.
They beat someone else. And I kind of thought, like, Boogie Ellis could carry that team, but
I can't. Actually, I know what I was talking about because I remember.
Boogie Ellis had half quarter. Was that against?
I think that was against St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, though? Yeah.
Actually, St. Mary's is the only team they beat, and they looked good after that one. A lot of people. Bingo. College basketball world was high on them, and then they lost two straight to Western Kentucky and VCU. Not losses you want if you're a mid-major team. But then the big game of the night, 6 Illinois, heads on the road to Mizzou. And Mizzou, spooky team.
Confirmed
gets
spooky.
Gets it done. I knew this would be a good game. I thought Illinois would pull it out because I think Illinois is a great team. But
Mizzou's got some good wins.
Mizzou, yeah.
That's why we mentioned
that last podcast.
Are they spooky or are they actually good?
They're good.
They beat Oregon and Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're more than spooky.
Yeah, and a Liberty team that's normally puts up a fight.
Probably best team in the A-Sun.
Yeah.
Without really looking at the A-Sun, I'm kind of guessing here.
They beat Wichita State as well.
Wichita State's a fraudulent program right now.
But it's still a program that has name recognition that's decent to get
that game, Illinois versus Mizzou, not to go too deep into it, but it was literally just Io and Kofi
versus the world. Yeah.
Nobody else did anything.
Io had 36 this game. He he was still extremely impressive.
He put on his best impression of the Garza goggles and went to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean... The other guards didn't really show up that game. Adam Miller had 2 points. Trent Frazier had 4. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It was Curbelo and Kofi versus everyone. Yeah.
Curbelo played okay off the bench. He had 14, so that was decent. But you need a little bit more support around him. I think they have that support. I think they just struggled this game.
Yeah, they just didn't produce.
I think they got a little bit surprised coming out and getting dominated like that.
Yeah,
and this Missouri team could win the SEC. If you think about it, it's going to be them and Tennessee.
Watch Kentucky beat them twice this season. I can see that happening. I'm not going to make the prediction yet, but...
Not twice. For sure not twice.
But I can envision that. And then we got a ranked matchup moving into Sunday. Number 19, Richmond, gets destroyed by 11, West Virginia on the road. West Virginia is a good-looking team so far this year.
It's a tough matchup for Richmond.
Yeah.
West Virginia's just going into this game,
I believe Wesley and I said this. We said, listen, we like Richmond. But
West Virginia's got the best
front court. Richmond can't match up against that. They're too big. And I still like Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
They were never winning that game.
That's fair. And Miles McBride had a phenomenal game with 20 points.
So. Yeah. Really?
9 for 11. Kind of my ball. 9 for 11 from the field. He shot the ball extremely well. But
he's my favorite player.
And then Derek Culver had a double-double, too.
Yeah. Classic. What's new?
What's classic?
Catholic Pope.
Yeah, tough matchup for Richmond, but I actually like this West Virginia team this year a lot more than I've liked them
in the past. I do, too. This West Virginia team is nice.
It looks like they're taking it more seriously this year.
They've always missed a good front court. They've always had the scrappy guards that can kind of get... They've never had a good front court like they have right now, which is, I would say, the best in the nation, best front court in the nation. But that can be
argued. I agree with that. Big Ten play, Penn State goes on the road, loses to Michigan 62-58. Michigan gets ranked the next day. Michigan's still undefeated. I like this Michigan team.
And I'm not afraid
to hide it. Hunter Dickinson, though, I mentioned him last podcast, the big guy, because Davis might be out for a while, long period of time. Hunter Dickinson had 20 points. He was 9 for 14 from the field.
So if the big man's out, I know Brandon Johns Jr. isn't technically a big man, but is he getting more minutes now?
Not as many.
I think he's sitting
at the normal.
He's a role player for him. Respectively, of course. He had 6 points this game. He had 14 minutes. Michigan only played, and Shaundi Brown did not play well this game. Michigan still won, so I think that's pretty impressive because
Michigan does not play that many guys.
They played eight before because they had Davis starting, but at the same time, Michigan's never been a team that's played a ton of dudes. You know.
Fair to say.
They've had their guys. They've had their role players off the bench. And then later in the day, 22 Ohio State barely escaped Cleveland State. Are we thinking Ohio State's fraudulent?
Kind of.
A little bit. I'm fading. I'm a big fan.
They did not have E.J. Liddell, who is arguably their best player.
I think he is their best player. He is. So without E.J. Liddell, but it's Cleveland State. But it's
Cleveland State.
Who hadn't won a game all year, and they only won by 6 points.
Where are they from? The Horizon?
The Horizon.
Definitely Horizon team. Just, you say the record, and that
should not even be
Horizon. That screams Horizon.
Undefeated team. Screams
Horizon. And then we got into the new rankings the next week. Like I said, Michigan got in there. Clemson got in there.
They shouldn't have.
You don't think Clemson should have gotten in there?
Absolutely not.
They were undefeated at the time, so it was respectable.
Well, not anymore.
All right. Well, I'm shocked that San Diego State is only 18. I think they should be higher.
I agree with that.
Florida State, I think, should be higher than 15.
Yes.
But Big Ten still got the most teams in. I think they had 7.
Big Ten's last conference in basketball, there is literally not a single question. And continuing, no questions.
Continuing in Big Ten action, Rutgers went into Maryland.
I think they
felt a little bit disrespected this game. Maryland was favored at home against Rutgers, an undefeated Rutgers team.
Should have never happened.
Let's just sit back and let Charlie talk first.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about this game for a little bit. So,
buckle your seatbelts and prepare for liftoff.
Get comfy. Listen. Get comfy.
So Maryland was favored this game. Okay.
Which is disrespectful, really.
By 4 points.
That's bad.
That's not okay.
By 2.5, but
I think the line started at 4, and then people were like, wow, this is an awful line because Mark Turgeon's a joke. Mark Turgeon, he knew all the talent that was leaving his program, and he decided to not do anything about it. They have like one player, his name is escaping me at the moment.
Dante Scott.
Aaron Wiggins, maybe?
Dante Scott.
It's Dante Scott. Eric
20, point, 20 points, 8.
They still have Eric Ayala, but I'm saying they're like...
Eric Ayala sucks. He sucks.
But anyways, so Rutgers came out this game, and the reason that this game was so important is this was Geo Baker's first game back since their first game when he sprained his ankle. And it was a bad sprain. And if you watch this game, Geo Baker did not look like good old Geo Baker. I would say 70% max. Maybe 75% max. I don't know why you're giving me those gestures, Luke, because Geo Baker did not look like his full self out there. At the end of the day, he still ended with 15 points.
13.
A Baker's dozen? 13?
Yeah.
Geo Baker?
Baker's dozen? Are you
no
kidding
No way.
Are you kidding me?
The stars have aligned.
I think he had 15.
No, he had 13.
He had 13.
They maybe subtracted it, because I swear.
They did not subtract points.
Classic Charlie trying to hype up Geo Baker.
Fine. He had a Baker's dozen. That works out all the better. But Ron Harper Jr., he had 27. And Rutgers won this game by 14 pretty easily. Second half, Geo Baker really turned it up, even though, once again, he was only playing at 70% tops. And their free throws were awful. They shot better from three than they did free throws. Or if it wasn't better, it was like really, really, really close. That's not okay. Steve Peichel needs to sit his team down, work on it.
Give him a talk. They need a stern
This Rutgers team is going places. What places, you may ask? Here's where the bold predictions
come
out.
Let's hear them.
Rutgers will finish fourth or better in the Big Ten. They will be a 3 seed or better in March Madness.
Bullshit.
And they will make
slap that table.
Bad prediction.
And they will make it to the Elite Eight or better in March Madness.
So I believe that deserves three notes.
That deserves three. Three bold predictions. 1, 2, 3. All three of them are going to hit.
Fine. You're not going to hit on any.
You know,
how am I not going to hit on any? When you have Ron Harper Jr. and the best closer in college basketball, and then you've got a big man, you have Miles Johnson coming off the bench.
Geo Baker's the best closer in college basketball.
Can I please?
Yes.
R-O-N-G.
No.
No one for the W. That's wrong.
Jacob Young as a third piece? Come on. Montez Mathis?
Come on. I can name five teams better in the Big Ten right now.
14 boards a game.
Do you want me to name five teams better?
I can name two teams better.
Iowa.
Yes.
Illinois.
Yes. Yes.
Michigan State.
Yes.
Nope.
Wisconsin.
Yes.
Nope.
And then you got
Michigan
either Michigan, Indiana. Indiana,
oh,
not Ohio State.
Oh my God.
I think Michigan could be better. I'm not ready to say that yet, but I think Michigan could be better. One problem, you did mention Miles Johnson. One problem I do have with Steve Peichel this year, I love Steve Peichel. He was my coach of the year last year. Cliff Omorui. He's not better than Miles Johnson. Miles Johnson's got to be in the starting lineup.
Okay, I see that, but Cliff Omorui is pretty darn good.
6 points, 5 rebounds in 21 minutes. You know what Miles Johnson did in 25? 16 boards and 10 points.
Okay, I agree.
Double off the bench again. That's the second game in a row.
If they're going to start Miles Johnson, start him over Cliff. Do not start him over Montez Mathis, who that game did not play that good, but is averaging 14 rebounds per game.
Yeah, I wasn't wanting to start him
over. I know, I'm just pointing out all the quality pieces this Rutgers team has. They have...
Are we gonna go even bolder?
If I remember right from last year, I think Miles Johnson did start, and I don't know why he's not starting this year because
he's a better
defender.
Geo Baker also didn't start. They started Mulcahy over him.
Okay, well, we're not talking about Geo Baker right now. We're talking about Miles Johnson. Okay, Miles Johnson's a better defender than Omar Rui, and Omar Rui is a solid player. He's not a bad player, but Miles Johnson is a really good player.
Yeah, Omar Rui is really known for throwing down dunks. He kind of gets the team hyped. He throws down like 3 dunks a game, basically.
Okay, but that should not be the basis.
Okay, I agree. I'm not trying to pick an argument with starting Miles Johnson. I love Miles Johnson. He's a nice piece.
Miles Johnson.
That's the point. This team has so many nice pieces. They literally don't know who to start.
Miles Johnson had 4 fouls, but he still deserves 30 minutes a game. In my opinion,
I would agree. He's
a workhorse.
He deserves a starting spot for sure.
And when you look at the team, he's literally like a footnote. He's like the 4th or 5th best player.
I would say he's probably the 3rd best player.
You put him over Jacob Young?
I would say he's the 2nd best player.
Probably.
What?
Miles Johnson.
Okay. Wow. Behind Ron Harper.
We are just turning the wheels right now.
No. You're disrespecting me, and I don't need to sit at this table and take that. In fact, I know what you're doing. You're trying to push the buttons, okay?
Rutgers. Poke the bear at the stick.
They might go Final Four. Who knows?
For
they could
you
be.
Listeners
they could
out
win it
there,
all.
Please comment on our Instagram post. Please leave a review. Leave a comment. Something
about Geo
Tell
Baker.
Us how far you think Rutgers.
Yes,
has
you
gone.
Could. You could leave us a 5-star review on our Apple Podcast, and just you don't even have to review it. Just in your comment, right?
This
how far
the
Rutgers
is
going.
Boldest statement I've ever heard.
It's very bold.
This Rutgers team is. They have it all. They literally have it all, aside from free throws. And Steve Pike was a good enough coach where he will work on that.
Well, and you also know the Big Ten will wear you down as you get deep into Big Ten season with the schedule. That's how it works in the Big Ten. You got
but
very
it,
physi-
but it doesn't
very physical
just wear
compete.
Down Rutgers. It wears down
Charlie
every other
Sitton
Big Ten.
I know it wears down
Rutgers is going to go undefeated
but,
in the Big Ten.
But not every team has this tough January schedule Rutgers does in the Big Ten. They start in January.
Listen
they
up got, one by one and I'll tell you if it's a win or a loss.
In January they got Iowa.
Loss.
Iowa at home, by the way. So Rutgers will be at the rack in that one. You still
loss.
Think it's a
loss.
I still think it's a loss.
Okay. They play at Michigan State.
Loss.
They play Ohio State at home.
Probably
win.
Win.
And then they go on the road to Penn State, which is an easier one. But
win.
Then they have Wisconsin at home. They go on the road.
Win.
Loss.
They go on the road to Indiana, which is a spooky
win.
Loss.
I have one loss so far. One. For this tough December.
Then
I
they,
have three
this
or
is
four.
January, actually.
Oh, now we're in January.
No,
one
this
loss.
Has been January the whole time. Then they have Michigan State at home.
Loss.
Win. Oh, okay, they play Michigan State twice. I'll give them one win, one loss. So that's 2 losses.
So you think they're going to beat Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, Wisconsin, Indiana?
Yes. That's not like that bold of a take either, really.
That's pretty bold. I'm not going
to
lie
to you. Well, you want me to make a 4th bold prediction, Luker? Come on now.
No,
we'll see.
Just,
and we'll see
go.
What happens. We'll see
we'll
what
see
happens.
If Charlie's right,
there's
he's going to look like a genius, but
this
he's not going to look like a genius.
This team is so good.
Well, there will be some absolute strife no matter
okay,
what happens.
Okay, I kind of want to hear like your thoughts on this. If you think that this is so outlandish, what doesn't Rutgers have? What don't they have on their team? Tell me what they don't have, honestly.
I don't think they have amazing guard play. It's not bad. It's quality.
Oh, my God.
You overhype Geo Baker so much.
Yes.
It's out
he's
of this world.
No, and I'm going to tell you why I don't. He's playing right now at 70% because of his ankle. Last year, he had a broken thumb the entire year. That's why he played off the bench last year. He had a broken thumb the whole year. He got surgery on it after the year.
Yeah, so did Jordan Bohannon with his hip, but you don't hear me hyping up Jordan Bohannon.
Yeah,
like
because he sat
Charlie,
out like a puss.
Charlie
Geo Baker played the whole year.
He thinks Geo Baker is so good because he's a good closer.
They're better.
Just because you're a good closer doesn't mean you're like some outstanding college basketball
He strikes
player.
Fear in the defenders.
You couldn't say that with a straight.
He genuinely does. He genuinely does. When you have the best step back in all of college basketball, you strike fear in defenders.
All right. Well, all I'm saying is
I haven't heard what they don't have yet. Their guard play, Geo Baker, Ron Harper Jr. Ron Harper Jr. averages like 25 a game.
Ron Harper is like a small forward, more or less. Okay.
He's a guard.
He's a good player. I'll give him that. He's a good
But
he's
I,
a
think,
player.
I think he, yeah, Ron Harper Jr. is the best player on their team. But
I 100%. Agree. You don't. It. I don't take that personally as a Geo Baker fan. Ron Harper is the best player on the team.
But I would also say I think some other Big Ten teams are a little bit more complete. And not saying Rutgers not
including Wisconsin.
Rutgers has a lot. Rutgers has a lot of good pieces. I agree.
And Michigan State.
But at the end of the year,
I don't know. I'd like
they
to
might
put
be...
the lineups of Michigan State and Rutgers side by side and compare. Because you'd go one by one, you'd be like, oh, Rutgers, maybe Michigan State, Rutgers,
no,
Rutgers,
you
Rutgers.
Would not.
Whatever. We're moving on
I'm
from this. We're moving on from this Rutgers talk to get to a big upset on Monday night. Marquette goes on the road to 9 Creighton, pulls off the upset. Alex,
what a fun game! That's what, what a fun game.
Really just lobbed up the softball and it was... Wow.
Marquette is confirmed spooky. Two top 10 wins on the season.
Yes.
I'm gonna tell you why.
And they will be ranked.
I'm gonna tell you why I don't buy into Marquette, okay? And I'm not saying they're a bad team. I'm just saying they're not gonna be amazing. There is only one game where they have had less turnovers than their opponents, and that was Arkansas Pine Bluff.
That's part of the thing. That's they're what forcing Marquette turnovers. Does.
No. Marquette turned the ball over more than all the others.
That's what they do. Like that's classic.
Okay, well that's not a winning formula, by the way. That's something you gotta work on, buddy. Okay, well, all right. Marquette can't turn the ball over like this when they play the higher caliber teams, okay? And they were able to get away with it against Creighton because they shot the ball well enough. But how many games are you gonna shoot the ball well enough to overcome?
Mm-hmm. But that turning is, the ball that's over more Marquette's every game. MO though.
That's
like,
what I'm
that's
trying to say.
Marquette.
They are known to
I'm
be
not
a
saying,
team
I'm not
turns
saying
the ball
that Marquette's gonna be a world beater.
Yeah, how'd that work against Murray State? It didn't.
You're going 2 years in the past.
Luke.
Well, because we didn't have Luke.
Somebody has grabbed the remote and
you are turning back the clock.
Luke, I'm not sitting here saying that Marquette is some great team. I'm saying they're spooky.
Can't be spooky if you turn the ball over more than your opponents.
They have two top ten wins.
You can't say they're not spooky.
I'm not saying
they're
a bad team.
In fact, I would say
they're
a little better than spooky when you have two top ten wins.
I'm saying they're vulnerable, okay? I'm going to say they're vulnerable.
Obviously, that's the whole point. We're not saying Marquette's a top 20 team in the nation.
Exactly.
They're going to have their flaws.
I believe they should be ranked.
Exactly.
I believe they should be ranked too. But I honestly think that they're going to get a little overhyped on this podcast as we get down the stretch if they keep.
I don't know if I think Alex
is kind of fair
Marquette
with Marquette.
I think
Alex is fair.
I hate
with
to
them.
Agree with him after his Rutgers takes, but honestly, Alex is fair enough with
if
Marquette.
If they win one out of two against Nova, that only like.
See, but I don't think they do. Because Nova's very good at points.
Team.
Nova's very good at getting points off turnovers. And guess what? Marquette sucks at
Theo John loves the foul
sucks
ball,
at
so.
Holding on to the ball.
Yes, but I will say I honestly think Marquette in a couple years could be a good team. They got Justin Lewis, Dawson Garcia. That's gonna be
yeah.
A good
Dawson Garcia
score.
Had a double double that game. That
and they're gonna be losing Kobe McHugh, which
is
only good for them.
A sophomore, so he'll continue to get better.
But I mean, if Marquette doesn't turn over the ball more than their opponents against good teams, they're a Sweet 16 team in my mind. That's all I'm saying.
You were just okay. I'm not listening.
Nuno reverse card.
I said if they take care of the ball better.
You didn't even know if they were spooky, and now you're saying that they're a Sweet 16 team.
I said if they hold on to the ball against good opponents,
okay,
which they haven't proved to have done yet.
And I don't think they are going to hold on to the ball.
Okay, well then I don't think they're a Sweet 16 team. Okay. Very little chance to get to the Sweet 16 in my mind if
deal
they
done.
Continue to turn the ball over. But that's just from the analytics side of it. So, you know, I mean, what do I know? But then we
not
get in,
much given your past few takes.
What do you mean my past few takes? What takes were you talking about?
Continue. We got some games up.
Right, you said Rutgers the third best team in the Big Ten. I frankly do not want to hear it from you.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right.
Fair.
They do not want to hear it.
They genuinely
you.
Are.
Michigan State's ranked fourth.
I'm not a ranking slave. I look at resumes and I look at team composition.
Yeah, what in Michigan State's Stinky. Resume makes you say Michigan State is not
worthy of
being
We got to get over games. We're already 43 minutes into this thing.
All right, well.
Whoever's listening, they got a real treat on their hands with this episode.
Moving into Tuesday, we got a big upset. We got an upset of Virginia Tech winning at home against 24 Clemson, 66-60. I believe both these teams are frauds. How you doing? Keep it moving, according to Pat McAfee.
I think Vatek's spooky.
As do I. Alex, we're just seeing eye to eye on everything other than the Rutgers right now. Mike Young, great coach. Clemson, fraud. I agree with
Clemson
that statement.
Fraud.
Virginia Tech laid an egg against Penn State, but good teams lay eggs every so often. That's just what happens.
Not great teams, but they're not a great team.
They're not a great team. Good teams lay eggs.
They're an okay team.
Clemson is not a good team, and they will continue
Virginia,
to lay eggs.
Virginia Tech's still pretty young.
Yeah. Clemson stinks. They're going to keep laying eggs. That's mm-hmm. what's going to happen.
Frankly, both these teams are going to be, at the end of the year, they're going to be like somewhere between
a 7 and 10,
and 11.
Exactly.
And
I think Virginia Tech, their resume at the end of the year, is going to make it where like they're on the ball, but they're safe. They're a little on the safe
like
side.
Like a 10 seed.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Yeah. 10 seeds.
I
10 seeds,
that.
You're not that safe. Maybe like an 8.
That's fair.
Okay.
Eight
well,
or
I also
eight
just
nine.
Said 7 to 11.
That's
so
fair.
They
they're going to be in the 8-9 matchup, I believe.
Then we got a battle of two unbeatens in the Big Ten. Illinois coming off that loss. 13 Illinois playing at home. Absolutely. They take care of Minnesota 92-65.
Too much.
Yeah, they run.
Marcus Carr can't do it.
Marcus Carr can't do it all. He struggled this game. I mean, he had Iowa on him a lot of the game, too. And Marcus Carr, because before this, I would tell you, Marcus Carr is one of the most underrated college. I still think so. Marcus Carr is one of the most underrated.
He has zero pieces around
him. He doesn't get any recognition.
Yeah, I mean, nobody around. There were two pieces.
Gabe Polscher, like, get out of here.
There were two pieces in this game, and that was Marcus Carr and Liam Robbins, their center, who's a transfer from Drake. Good player. He's not
guard Kofi Coburn.
He's not Daniel Oturu, but he's a decent piece at center as a replacement. But then, getting on later into the night, Wisconsin, number 12, Wisconsin at home. It was close with Loyola Chicago for a while. In the first half, the sister jeans.
Okay, but it's not like Loyola Chicago is like a woo god awful team. They're still leftover pieces from that run. Pretty good in the MVC. Yeah, I would agree.
Cameron Krutwig's a sneaky
good
player.
He's the guy that was on that team.
There are two guys.
He's ugly as shit.
Dude, he's a bucket though. Yeah. He's an absolute bucket.
I'll give it to him.
He does not shoot the three ball ever. He like refuses. I checked like his career.
A
man of culture. He's taken I think 2-3 pointers in his entire career at Loyola, which is insane. That's nuts. But you know what? He's a beast in the paint. I do have to say.
Then 15, Florida State continues to roll 74-61 over Georgia Tech on Tuesday night.
The rambling wreck.
And that brings us into tonight. Richmond gets a bounce-back win against Vanderbilt, who was undefeated coming into this one somehow. But
somehow
they were.
Bad teams.
But Richmond needed that bounce-back win. And even though they're not a great team, it's still an undefeated Power 5
at the time. Did Richmond really get bounced out
from
the rankings? 25?
From losing to West Virginia.
That's what I'm saying.
That is not okay. They ranked fucking Clemson, and they bounced Richmond.
That's garbage. These voters don't know anything.
They do not respect them.
Vanderbilt does have a very good player in Scottie Pippen Jr., the way he's played so far this season. And obviously, the name kind of pops out.
Clearly.
I mean, we don't even need to explain that one, really. But then, Charlie, you wanted me to point it out, so there you go. Syracuse won tonight by 6 points over Northeastern.
Creeps to a win against Northeastern.
Listen, I want Syracuse to be good. That's another quality win for Rutgers.
We want a 10-seed Cuse. That's what we want.
That would be awesome if they could relive
the glory
like
days.
That. 7, Nova takes care of Butler at home, 85-66. Nova's really starting to get it together.
Yeah, what's
obviously
the deal with Butler this year? Do they have anyone, Alex? No,
they brought back Aaron Thompson, who can't shoot to save his life.
Bounce back game for Robinson Earl, by the way. 18 points.
He always does.
Nova at the beginning of the year looked shaky, but they're back.
Big upset tonight. Purdue at Mackey Arena. It's tough to win at Mackey Arena, by the way. Maybe the second hardest place to play out in the rack in the Big Ten for teams.
No E.J. Liddell, though.
No E.J. Liddell for Ohio State. And Ohio State was missing their starting big man, too, I believe, which pretty much ensured that Travion Williams of Purdue just had a field day.
Yeah.
I know Alex likes Travion Williams.
Why does he come off the bench?
I don't know.
He's the
best player they have on the team. It's not even close.
Some college coaches, I really question the decisions they make. I swear, I'll look at box score and I'll see random people come off the bench.
Matt Painter.
Virginia Tech, for example. I respect the hell out of Mike White, but when he has Cardi Diarra coming off the bench, I'm like,
Cardi Diarra didn't even play against Clemson.
I don't know what his deal is. He must have called
the coach his wife fat or something. Like, it had to happen. It had to happen because there's no way he's a
like. But like that's Cardi just like that's just an example of like sometimes they don't know what coaches are doing. It's got to be a discipline thing.
But Travion Williams is giant. And he should definitely be getting some more minutes.
I mean, yeah, he played well tonight. 16 points, 9 rebounds. He dominated the game. He was a monster down there.
He is.
So Purdue, some potential because they're young, but I don't know what they're going to do. It's going to be similar to last season in terms of record because I think they were like 500 last year, but they had some really quality wins and some really bad losses. I envision this year's Purdue team being basically the same. Cincinnati gets beat at home by USF. Not a good look for Cincinnati.
Thought they were spooky.
I was thinking the same thing, but not a good look.
He was making fun of you, Luke.
Oh, well, you know what? Not a good look. David DeJulius, I can officially say that man is straight trash. All right? 5 points this game. Just laid an absolute...
The amount of times I heard David DeJulius' name mentioned last year and this year was way too many. Can we please just not talk about David DeJulius ever again?
All right, well, let's talk about the Horned Frogs getting it done on the road at Okie State. Okie State was undefeated coming into this one with Cade Cunningham.
Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm. And the Horned Frogs.
How do you like your own frogs?
Like a medium rare. You already know.
Attaboy. We're back and better than ever.
We are back in business. That's a good conference win for TCU. Hopefully they can build off that momentum because it would be really awesome if TCU was good. I mean, I think.
Wow!
We can
oh my good! Wow!
Just because of the meme.
For meme purposes, I can get behind that.
And then Duke went on the road to Notre Dame. Gets a nice 10-point win there. Coach K, you still want to quit the season, buddy?
Probably, honestly. He definitely still does. He needs a top 25 win to get himself back, to bring his spirits back. Get him back in the game. But
I just can't deal with that, man.
I can't either. It actually really makes me mad.
That upset me more than it should.
Nate Oates absolutely did let him hear it, and I was there for it.
And then how about a double-digit win from University of Texas El Paso over Arizona State on the road?
Arizona State could sneak into fraudulent territory.
I mean, we talked about this earlier, but Alex...
Remy Martin had 9 points. They got to find a way for him to get shots and for him to score the ball.
Aaron Jones is proud of this UTEP win.
Shout out Aaron Jones. We love Aaron Jones here.
He wears the meanest sombreros.
He does. His hairline is big and he does not care. He has a big forehead.
He does not care at all.
By the way, Ponies win again. They're undefeated. Just saying. I always got to shout out SMU. Have to shout out SMU. You're just going to have to deal with it. And then tomorrow, Thursday, big game to pick here. Number 5, Kansas goes on the road to number 14, Texas Tech. Texas Tech is favored by 2
That's not that crazy. I know, but like it just feels like the line people are making the lines are valuing home court advantage when there's no fans.
That's your team. How can you say that's crazy?
It's still an effect because you don't have to travel.
The fact that what kills me is the Maryland game, that Maryland was favored.
That was just people not knowing anything about college basketball, quite frankly.
Well, Vegas never lies.
Vegas won
that game.
No. Vegas wanted you to bet on Maryland that game. That's essentially what
they wanted to make money.
Wait, what?
They wanted to make money.
My brain doesn't work the way yours does.
All right.
Spinning.
But anyways, I think Texas Tech actually takes that game.
I agree.
I would love to see Texas Tech.
I think Texas Tech wins.
I think McClung comes out and plays good.
Yeah, I agree.
I like Kansas in this one.
Why is that, Alex? You a big Christian Brown fan?
I am a big Christian.
Do you think you could have sit down and have a beer with Christian Brown? You weren't on the podcast talking. Most definitely. Why?
Without a doubt.
Why?
He just seems like a cool kid. I'm sorry.
He is not okay.
You just look at him and he's like, right, he's a smart kid.
Rattle off some more games here.
9 Creighton heads on the road to the Johnnies. I know Alex loves the Johnnies at home.
Give me Creighton. Sorry, guys. The Johnnies just aren't it.
I want to see what Alex was thinking there. And then Marquette's back in action at home against Seton Hall. Could Mamu Kawasvili carry the Seton Hall Pirates team to a win against Marquette? Because he's been playing great basketball.
I'm going Seton Hall.
I'm going to take Marquette.
I think Marquette lays an egg at home. I think Seton Hall gets it done on the road. Then we get into the weekend, Friday. Again, not too good of a slate on Friday, but BYU goes on the road to 18 San Diego State. BYU 6-2. This could be
SDSU.
I got SDSU too, but I think this is going to be closer than
SDSU people expect. Is just going to out physical them, really.
And you're punched in the mouth.
Yep,
I would agree down the stretch. Then we got Davidson at Rhode Island again. Not a great game.
A-10 action.
But hey, and then Iowa State taking on number 8 West Virginia. Iowa State's not good this year.
Blowout.
Do you think it's a blowout?
Gonna run them out of the gym.
20 plus. I'm sending it 20
basically
plus.
Basically like Iowa did. Mm-hmm. But Saturday is where we get into the big games. Yes, number sir. 3, Iowa plays 1 Gonzaga.
This game better not get canceled.
Neutral location.
I got a feeling it's gonna get canceled.
Zags better turn there.
Who you guys think wins this one?
Wesley Zags by 30?
No, absolutely not. The thing is that these are like my 2 favorite teams in the country.
I think Iowa comes out and wins.
I think Iowa comes out and just wins. I think Iowa matches up well with Zags.
I think they do too.
I think Iowa matches up well with any team. The way their team is constructed.
I don't like the way Iowa matches up with Baylor, to be honest. That might be the one team. That's a great point.
That's
actually a valid point. But I think they match up decent enough with Gonzaga.
This is so tough.
Alex, your pick?
You know,
Hawks by a million.
I always go. I always go against the Big Ten, but I like Iowa in this game.
So that's Iowa across the board here. Wesley, have you made a pick yet? Have you made a pick yet, or have you just said that?
I'm just like, my brain is literally like, I'm overheating right now. I'm gonna have to go Iowa because I want Iowa to win this game.
All
right,
that's valid. And then another big one, ACC Big Ten Challenge reschedule game, 23 Louisville, 12 Wisconsin.
Wisconsin sports fans rejoice. You may sit on the couch from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Yep. There's just nonstop Wisconsin sports action.
And Wisconsin's going to beat Louisville in that game, I think.
Roll Badgers.
I like Louisville this year, but I think the Badgers get it done at home.
Yep.
Even though Micah Potter and Nate Reavers have struggled a little bit with foul trouble and other things lately, I think they
Badgers are deep. Done. Roll Badge.
Then in-state rivalry, 24 Clem, or that's postponed. My bad. We got 22 North Carolina headed on the road to Big Blue Nation, though.
Oh,
that's an opportunity.
Give me heels. I hate Kentucky. Give me heels.
This is heels across the board.
I like Kentucky in this one.
Oh, man.
I like UNC.
I think Kentucky turns around their season. I really do. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because, I don't know.
Maybe you're crazy.
But then we, maybe I am. Purdue plays at Notre Dame. I feel like Purdue's going to let down this game.
Irrelevant game.
I don't know if that's irrelevant, because if Purdue wins this, that's...
It's part of the Crossroads Classic. Whatever the hell that means.
it's where all the four Indiana teams play each other.
Nah, that's really cool. All suck.
No one cares.
They all suck.
Two Baylors finally back in action on the road at Kansas State. It's garbage. That's a 50-point win.
Once again, they're playing a D2 school.
Kansas is going to take a shit on the floor. They suck.
K-State's going to take a shit on the court and call it.
Here's one that could be intriguing. UCLA at 20 Ohio State. I don't know if EJ Liddell's going to be back for that one.
If he's not, give me UCLA.
Really?
I agree. If he's UCLA. Not there, give me UCLA. If he is, I like Ohio State.
Even if he's not there, I still like Ohio State in this one. That's some Big Ten bias, but you know. It is what it is.
You know what you're getting into when you listen to this podcast. You know that there's going to be some Big Ten bias.
There
was a good game that got canceled that day, though. Villanova versus Virginia got canceled. That's sad.
Then we get into
Sunday. Virginia stinks.
Getting to Sunday. 9 Creighton going on the road to undefeated UConn. And I know that we thought UConn was very spooky last year. Could they get done this year?
It's going to be a fun game.
UConn's back in the Big East.
It's a Big East matchup.
Just so you guys know. We'll
see. James Bouknight versus Marcus Zagorowski. It's going to be a fun
game. I like it. We'll see.
Anybody think UConn's going to pull this off?
I got UConn.
You got UConn?
I got UConn.
I got Creighton on the road because UConn can't win close games. They proved that to us last year.
Then we got over here about
huge,
this next game.
Huge game in the Big Ten. 13
last game
Illinois
for Sunday.
On the road to Rutgers. 19 Rutgers. I got Illinois.
That's the last
in this
good
one.
Game.
I'm sorry.
Game.
Even
at
the
Rutgers, Illinois.
Yeah,
I'm going
care.
Illinois.
I don't care.
I've got Illinois by 12.
Ooh, the fighting.
Do we know what the line is?
They do not have the line out.
No lines yet.
Rutgers.
This was expected. If anybody could have guessed.
Not much else.
Then actually, Oklahoma State plays at number 11 Texas, and I actually think Oklahoma State wins that one.
I think Texas lets Shaka with hair. Shaka with hair follicles.
And then Marquette at Xavier, who's still undefeated, by the way.
That should be a fun one to watch, actually.
Alex, how are you feeling about Marquette in that one?
I don't know. I don't really know much about Xavier this year.
If I'm being completely honest.
They lost Najee Marshall.
Yeah.
I guess they beat Cincinnati, who's apparently spooky. I like Marquette.
Who knows?
This one.
Give me Marquette.
I think Marquette actually gets it
done. Around the horn.
Marquette gets up for big games. That's what we know.
We have seen it.
And that pretty much wraps up the games for the weekend to look forward to.
Right. Can't wait for this Rutgers-Illinois game. Oh, my goodness.
Iowa-Gonzaga
is the game of the week.
Game of the week.
Game of the week.
Rutgers-Illinois, game of the week.
Oh, give me a break.
It's 1-3. Field goal is no good.
Rutgers, you know what, I'm just going to stop. Anyways, this was a very fun podcast. A lot of bold predictions being made. They will be put up on the wall.
Bingo.
We're going to see how they do for the next few weeks. Anyways, till next time, this is Made in March.